Hi, I'm Michael Senoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive. I was surprised when you told me you had a curb painting business. That's incredible. And I've got an interview up on my site where I talk about curb painting. And I used to paint curbs years ago when I was in college to make extra money. And it's a great little gig.
It is. And I actually have your curb painting interview where you talk about putting holes in doors for the peephole.
That's correct. Yeah. I think I started with curb painting and then I moved on to the door viewers as well.
Right.
So we'll do an interview and we'll just talk about how you got into it and where you're located and how you started in this curb painting business.
My wife and I were looking for a way to get some extra income coming in just because things were a little tough. And my brother had done this. He'd done very well with it, working with another guy who actually travels around the country and does curb painting to pay for all of his travels.
Let's clarify what curb painting means. So for a listener, he's hearing curb painting. Well, what the hell is curb painting? What is this that we're talking about?
What curb painting is, we apply a concrete paint to the front curb of a home so that the emergency vehicles and police can find them nighttime when it's hard to find a residence.
All right, now that we know what that is, so your brother had told you about this years ago?
Yes, he told us that he was doing it, and he was doing it with flyers. So what he would do is he would put a flyer out in a neighborhood. He calls it flying. He'd fly a neighborhood, put flyers out, and then on the flyer, it gave instruction on how to take advantage of the program, and then he would go the next day and paint all the places that put the flyer out.
How did he learn about doing it?
He learned from another guy who travels the country using paint, painting curbs almost like a migrant worker. He just travels around and does it because the weather changes, and so he goes south when it's wintertime, and he's back up north in the summertime when the weather is better here because we can't paint year-round here.
So at that time, did your brother tell you how much bucks he was making doing this?
Yeah. There were days when they would make, you know, as much as 500 bucks in a day. They were really hustling. There were three of them, guy and his wife and my brother, and they would go out and they would just fly hundreds of homes, and then they'd go back in and paint them, and they would do as many as 25 homes in a day.
What were they charging back in the day?
They were charging 20 bucks.
So is that a good profit margin for someone who gets into this type of business?
Well, we charged 25. We kind of took it to another level, my wife and I, basically just because my background is in marketing and sales. So when I took over, he gave me a flyer and said, this is what you do, you put these flyers out. So we put the flyers out, and we got about 2.5% to maybe 5% on the max penetration of a neighborhood. And then when my wife went out and painted, she'd get more business. She said, well, you know, what if you went and knocked on some doors around wherever we're painting and see if we can get some more business that way? And I said, sure. I have a background in doing door-to-door sales with other programs that I've had in the past. And I said, well, let me try that. So I went out and I took the flyer and I flew the neighborhood, and then I went back through the neighborhood after I flew them and knocked on the doors several hours later. And when they'd answer the door, I would say, hi, we're in the neighborhood painting curbs. And a lot of times they'd just say, oh, yeah, we were going to call you. Yeah, go ahead and do it.
So they had seen your flyer on the door.
Right.
Would the flyer be stuck on the door still when you went there?
Sometimes it would, and I'd still knock on the door. And then what we figured out was the flyer was helping to get it on the door first, but it was an extra step, and I don't always have time to do that. And I said, you know, I'm just going to take the flyer to the door. I'm going to knock on the door. I'm going to show them the flyer. And we created a sample of our curb painting on Corplast. which is kind of a plastic signage. So we painted the sign with our forest green background and our 4-inch white numbers that we embedded glass crystals in. And then when I walked up to the door, I was teaching my son how to do it, who was 11, and my other son, who at the time was 18, just a way to use his business to make money. So I took my 11-year-old up to the door, and I would knock on the door, and they'd answer, and I'd have the flyer in my hand. I'd say, we're in the neighborhood, and I had the Corplast sign kind of sitting in my son's hands next to me. Mm-hmm. And I would say, we're in the neighborhood, we're installing curb painting for the residents in this neighborhood over the next couple of days, and my son's going to explain it to you. And I had a little spiel that he would pull out and pull the sign up, and he'd go, we put a forest green background, and the reason we use forest green is you look at signs, they're usually green with white numbers. So we put a green background down, we hand paint it, and then we put 4-inch numbers over the top of it, we embed them with crystals, and this is about 5 times more paint than what you'll get if you have it spray painted onto your curb. We guarantee our work that they'll be the best and brightest, and if you prepay today, we'll give you a certificate when we're finished that'll allow you to get a free pizza from Joe's Pizza or whoever we set up to do the pizza thing.
That's nice. Tell me about that idea with the free pizza premium.
I went out to different pizza places, and I said, we're going to be doing a program where we're going in and we're talking to homeowners about curb painting, and we would like to have you ride along with us and tell them about your pizza parlor, and whether they buy or not, they'll hear about your pizza parlor, and those who do buy will have to come in to get their pizza, and usually when they come in and get a pizza, they're going to buy Coke, they're going to get something off the salad bar, you're going to get your food costs back. It'll basically be free business for you to get in the door for the cost of a pizza, and I had no problem getting pizza shops to say, yeah, we want in on the program, because they want to reach those homeowners in those deliveries. Area.
Did you tell them that you're doing the curb painting campaign?
Yeah, and I'd show them a sample of our high-quality curb painting product, and I had a website that was also built so that they could go and look at it and see that it was not just some fly-by-night thing.
Did they get space on the flyer?
Not really. On my flyer, I would put that they would get a free pizza, but I didn't want to put the name of the pizza parlor because in different areas it might be different pizza place. So I would just tell them they'd get a free pizza, but what I would do is bring a menu with me, and I'd have it in my back pocket, and I would say, you're familiar with this pizza company, and then I'd show them the menu and say, this is what they specialize in. They got this wonderful garlic pizza. They got this, they got that. And when you get your curb painted, if you prepay it, you get a free pizza. What we were doing prior to offering the free pizza was we were collecting the money after we did the work. So we guaranteed the work. We said, you don't even have to pay for it tonight. We'll do the work. When we're done, you can pay for it. If you're not here, we'll leave an envelope on your door and you can mail it back to us.
What was occurring? You saw a problem with that?
People weren't paying, and so we'd have to go back repeatedly to get them to pay.
But you wanted to come up with something where you can get your money up front.
Right. Most people paid. And it was kind of fun because the envelopes would just come in the mail, and you just some days you'd get $200-$300 worth of checks in the mail. But some people didn't, and I was just kind of irritated because, you know, we went and did the work in good faith, and then they wouldn't pay. And I said, you know, I'd rather get the money up front than we don't have to leave an envelope, we don't have to do all the extra steps. So I came up with the idea of doing the free pizza.
Doing the free pizza and knocking on the door physically.
Right. Instead of just flyering them and counting on 2 to 5% response, I was now getting 15 to 20% response. So what I found was if I went out and knocked on doors, offered the pizza offer, which a lot of times they would even make fun that they weren't interested in the pizza, that wasn't important to them. What I learned about at the door was you never let their objection be a reason to stop, and you don't look them in the eyes. So when I would present it, I would say to my son, don't look them in the eyes and let them throw you off by indicating they're not interested. If you're not looking, they have to physically stop you or interrupt you, which they usually won't do. And then by the time we're finished presenting it, it's such a nice offer that most people felt it was, hey, you know, why not? That's a good idea.
All right, let me ask you this. When you set up the deal with the local pizzeria, what did they give you physically to know that they were going to honor their deal? And what did you take to the homes? What do you give to them to know that they're going to get their free pizza?
I created a certificate in Publisher that I converted to a PDF after I would put the name of the homeowner on the certificate, and there would be an expiration date, and I used the code for each homeowner so that it was coded. I told the pizza guy, I said, well, I'm going to put a code on these, which is going to keep a lot of people from trying to abuse this. Secondly, their name's going to be on it with their address, so you're going to know who they are. And then we're going to deliver it to them via email after the work is done. So you know anyone who's got one of these certificates is someone who actually spent money getting the curbs painted. And they understood how this was working. And I said to them, I've just got to give you a warning. When we do this, if you don't honor the certificate, you are going to get a really bad name in this community. And they insisted they would never not honor it. It just made too much sense to have those people come in.
So did you identify specifically what the offer was with them in writing before you signed them on?
We agreed to a two-topping large pizza.
Absolutely free. You don't have to order
drinks.
Absolutely
free. Don't have to do anything. You just have to come in and eat it at the restaurant. And then usually, and I asked them afterwards, they sold one of the pizza places that I went to last year, and I said to the owner who's now just works for the company, I said, well, when they ask you about whether this was a good idea, what are you going to tell them? He said, well, I'm going to tell them absolutely it was a great idea because everyone who came in bought other stuff. And a lot of them came back, so it was well worth it. So I know that it's a good thing for them. I don't think anyone who wanted to set this up would have any trouble getting a pizza place or, you know, could be even a sandwich shop, could be whatever, to want to take advantage of this if they present it properly.
All right, so that freemium was designed to get them to prepay rather than pay later.
Right, to eliminate the step of trying to collect money from those who didn't. And to get them invested in this process, if they prepaid, they were sold. If someone else in the neighborhood was coming through trying to sell curb painting, which there are others out there, they're already done. Whereas we'd had a couple of occasions where we had sold it to them, but we didn't collect the money, and we came back to the curb, and it was painted by someone else, and that other person had capitalized on the fact that they'd committed to doing it, and they came up and did it, and the people said, well, we were going to have someone else do it, but yeah, you can go ahead and do it. And they got our deal. So I said, well, let's just get some commitment from them, and then that way we don't have that happening. And so that worked really well.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. All right, so let's look at what your brother was doing. He was just flying neighborhoods.
He would go back and get it from the homeowner after he painted it or come back and get an envelope from them. And they had, you know, a number of people who didn't pay, and they didn't have the time. When you're flying and you're getting 3 to 5% of a neighborhood, you've got to go to five times as many homes to get the results that we were getting, which means that your area is five times as big that you've got to travel. So going back 4 miles to get a check from somebody, you just forget it and move on. So we had 98%, 99% collection. I would say maybe 99.9%. There's only like three people out of the literally hundreds and hundreds of homes that we've done that didn't pay.
All right, so when he did it, he'd fly neighborhood. A neighbor would keep the flyer indicating they want the curb paint. He'd come back into the neighborhood. He'd paint the curb. Let's say that they're not home and he paints the curb. So he leaves an envelope and instructions on how to pay and how much, and they have to put their own stamp on it and mail a check.
My brother and these other two people, they were more transient, let me put it that way. They did not have addresses that they were having people mail checks to. So what they did is on the flyer it would say, we'll collect after the work is done and leave an envelope for you to pay. And then they would go back in after the work was done and get all the envelopes from people who had paid that would be sitting either under their mat or wherever it might be.
Oh, so they literally had to go back and look for the envelope. You couldn't see it from the street where it would be taped on the door or anything.
Not the payment, but the flyer said on it, if you want the curb to be painted, turn the flyer over and write the 3, 4, 5-digit address number on the back, and we will install it. So then they would go in and take the numbers off the back of it and install it.
Okay, so they had no address to send payment. So your brother's little team had to physically go collect that money. And if someone wasn't home, there was no way to get that payment. And he was out the money unless he wanted to knock on doors all day. So when you were doing it before your pizza thing, you were flying a neighborhood, and how were you handling the payment? If you pre-painted, then did you have an address for them to mail their payment in?
Originally, we were following step by step what he'd done, but I just felt that was an inefficient way to do it. So my wife and I looked at, you know, what are other ways we can do it? And she said, well, why don't I just put our address, you know, take those little sticky things that you put on your envelopes when you're mailing somebody, just slap one of those in the middle of an envelope, and then put a little slip inside the thing instructing them to make it out to Nocturnal Numbers for $25. And if we don't receive payment within 10 days from the time of install, there's a $5 penalty. And so sometimes people would send us $30, and we'd get tips and everything. So, I mean, people were pretty trustworthy and faithful. I mean, they were homeowners. They understood we were working hard. We went to upper-scale neighborhoods. We didn't go to any low-end neighborhoods at all.
Did you keep a log of all the homes and the addresses that you did do so when the payment came in you could mark it off?
Yes, we had a log that we kept. When we signed them up, we had a sign-up sheet, and I instructed my son to have them sign it so that someone couldn't say, well, we didn't ask you to install a curb. We just go to their signature and say, your wife or somebody did, and they'd look at it and go, oh, okay, and they would know that it was approved. So we put their name, we put their phone number, their email address. We want their phone numbers because we say, you know, if the weather is inclement, we can't get to you, we're going to call you. So they always gave us their phone number. They always gave us an email to get the certificate because they wanted to get the pizza. And then we would check them off as the checks came in or as the work was done. And we had boxes on the right-hand side for background painted, numbers painted, check collected.
Okay, that's great. So you had to differentiate yourself from the other companies out there painting address numbers on curbs because it's pretty basic. Anybody can do it, and I would suspect you had some competitors. Did you see competitors?
Oh, yeah. And some of them did fancy stuff like they do white background, blue letters with a little flag and stuff like that. And some of them only charged like $15, which is hardly even worth the effort. But we would explain to them the way we do it is significantly different than any of the others that do this. And we'd gotten an endorsement from the biggest homeowner association in the area, which had 2,500 homes in it. We were on their vendor list as a company to call for the service, so we would point that out too. But basically, we'd explain to them that the way we do it is different from the others in that we hand paint our background and we hand paint the numbers and we embed glass road crystals, just like you see in airports for airplanes to land at night, right into the numbers. So these are the highest quality, brightest numbers that you can get, and we guarantee it. And if you're not satisfied, you don't have to pay for it. And so that was our unique selling proposition.
If people liked that, they wanted a quality one.
In the higher quality neighborhoods, they appreciated, and especially after you've done it for a few years and they see your numbers are still out there nice and bright and clean looking, people appreciate the quality. But, you know, there's some people who are like, hey, it's not rocket science. I don't really care about all that. And it's like, okay, well, then don't get it done.
Is there a law that a home has to have an address number on a curb?
There isn't really a law that insists on it. There are some code ordinances that say you can't have your curb painted since it's public, but there's very, very few of those. And actually, in a big community where we are, we painted one of the city councilman's curbs, and he wouldn't have it painted until he talked to his city council about what the rules are on that. And the police chief said to him, we actually love having the numbers on the curb if they're bright and easy to spot, because if there's a domestic situation and we're trying to find a residence, the last thing we want to do is be shining flashlights on a house so that the person inside is alerted that we're out there trying to get into their home, giving them the idea that maybe the police are out front. So he said, by seeing the curb number, we can set ourselves up to know we're at the right residence and come in a little more quietly when we're approaching those situations. So I use that story from the police chief as part of why you need to have this done and how important it is.
What other stories do you use in your pitch that seems to resonate with the homeowners?
Firefighters also like it because in an emergency situation where lives are at stake because of breathing or whatever, and they're racing into a situation, their GPS can get them sometimes only within about 800 to 1,000 feet of a home accurately. And so having anything, plaques on the house that are really bright and easy to spot, curb painting, all of that will help. And seconds can make the difference between whether someone is really harmed in a situation where it's an emergency and whether they're not. And so we would point that out, especially on senior citizens who have situations where they need quickly to get response, and it just isn't worth saving $25 when it could mean the difference between getting the help you need really fast and not. And then in addition to that, I did research, and I found a way to turn your interior lights into a beacon for your house. So you go in, you replace the box with a beacon that would, when it's in the up position, the lights are on, when it's in the down position, the lights are off, but when it's in the middle position, it flashes the exterior lights off and on every second until you turn it off. So in that case, if you're in a neighborhood, fire or police are trying to get to you, and it's an emergency, or your pizza guy, you turn that light on and it's flashing every second, they can tell where you are from blocks away that that's the house they're trying to get to, because you let them know in advance we'll have the lights flashing on the outside of the house. That's an additional service that can be added to doing the curb painting. And then I also hooked up with a couple, three different address plaque companies that will drop ship if I sell a plaque at the door. So there's other ways you can cross-sell and upsell that I kind of built into it too.
You saw an opportunity for people who want to get into the business?
I've built an opportunity. You know, I've saved all the flyers and the manuals that we've designed to help run our business, all of our spreadsheets, and we've done videos to help understand how to do this in case we have someone who needs to do it for us. We don't necessarily want to have to go out and teach them everything. We typically found that when door knocking, we were getting 2 to 3 homes per hour to agree to our installation. So if you go out for 3 hours a night, you're going to get probably somewhere between 40 and 50 sales per week. For a three-hour shift of knocking on doors, that's not too shabby. And then you got to paint the curbs. It takes about 5 minutes to put the background down, 5 minutes to put the numbers and the crystals on. They have to dry, so you put your background down, and you go back in and you do your crystals and your numbers. So that takes about 10 minutes to put them in, say 15. You can do 4 an hour. So if you do 8 a day, it takes about 2 hours to paint them. It takes about 2 to 3 hours to sell them at the door, plus there's cross-sells and upsells where you can make a lot more. We just didn't push it that hard to do it, but there's lots of different ways to make additional money at the door. And that can be easily $1,000 a week on a part-time basis.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. That sounds like a very good opportunity. What is your cost on the materials, the glass beads, and you're using a high-quality paint, and have you figured out your cost per curb?
We're using a concrete paint. It's made for exterior concrete paint. We've tried different ones, and we picked a certain brand, and we had a color for the dark green background, the code for it, that we tested different things and came up with this one particular color. The cost of a gallon of paint, if you look for them on sale, and they do that periodically, but let's say you don't, they're about $20 a gallon. Well, a gallon will do probably about, say, 100 homes, so it's about 20 cents for the paint. And for the crystals, we get a 50-pound bag for about $30. That'll last forever.
Are they clear or white?
It looks like a powder. So what we do is we put them in, like, you know those ketchup containers you get at restaurants? So we put them in there, and then we just kind of shake them over the paint as it's drying, and it embeds them right into it.
So are you embedding it on the letters only or the background too?
On the numbers only.
Okay, on the numbers only. So the numbers are vertical, so you just kind of shake it, the paint's wet, and it'll stick to it.
And we decided that we would only do curved curbs.
Why?
It was harder to do. It took more time. And there's so many more curved curbs that we didn't need to do the flat ones. My brother did a lot of flat ones, and he had a way where he did his where he would blow the stuff out onto the paint as it was drying by squeezing, and it would just go poof, embed. But we just thought, you know what, we're not going to fly neighborhoods that are flat, and so we didn't.
How would you choose the best neighborhoods to go work that bring the best results, whether you're flying or knocking?
When I go look at a neighborhood, I'm looking at the quality of the upkeep of the homes. If what I'm seeing is people who care about their homes and who keep the outsides of their homes looking nice, so usually they've got CCNRs from the Homeowner Association. If I can, I like to get a hold of the Homeowner Association president. So I'll ask, you guys got homeowners? Yeah. Who's the president? Where's his house at? And I'll go talk to that person directly and try and sell them the curb. Even if they don't, I'll say, do you have any problem with this particular type of curb being put in on these houses? And I've never gotten one to say no. But now when I go and talk to someone and say, well, I don't know if the Homeowner Association will let us do this, I'll say, well, you know, the president, Jim Bob Jones, he actually has it on his house. Or we've already asked him, and he said that there is no problem with this particular way we do these curbs to have it done. And he said, feel free to talk to him if you have any questions.
So will you do that in all cases? If you can't get that endorsement, will you not mess with it?
Nope. I'll do it anyways, because I don't think those homes should go without, regardless of what the Homeowner Association says, although we've never had a problem with it. It helps to have the endorsement of the Homeowner Association when you're doing it, but if they don't, I still knock on doors, and if people are hesitant because they don't know if the Homeowner Association will do it, I give them a flyer and tell them, well, feel free to check it out and call us if you want it done, but we're only going to be in the neighborhood for 2 days. And I move on, because it's silly. I think it's more a smoke screen than anything, because they don't want to get the curb painting, and that's fine. Don't get it, but
that's true. It's an excuse. What else are you looking for an ideal neighborhood to work?
I'm looking at upkeep of the neighborhood. I'm looking at the condition of the curbs. My brother has told me in the past, if people don't have curb numbers, that might be a good sign that they're not buying. But I believe that everybody is the same in every neighborhood. There isn't like this overall feeling that we don't buy curb painting in our neighborhood. You know, I think that each individual is going to make their own decision. So I don't look at whether the curbs are painted. But what I do look at is, are they freshly painted? Which means someone's already come through and picked through those who were prime candidates for what we do. So if I go into a neighborhood and I see freshly painted curbs, I move on to a different neighborhood.
Have you tried to work a neighborhood with freshly painted curbs?
I have, and I've still picked up business, but you're diminishing your percentages, because a lot of people took the service from someone else, and so now the ones who were likely are done. I'd rather go into a neighborhood where it isn't freshly painted so that I can capitalize on the likely candidates and spend less time knocking on doors, because it's all about time. You got 3 hours, you want to get 6 to 10 curbs under your belt. Then you want to go in neighborhoods that you don't have to go to three times as many houses to get that number, because you won't get as many sales for the evening.
From your experience, did you see your competitors knocking, or was most everyone taking the easy route, just doing the flyer method?
Well, I'd always ask people if they got their curbs painted, how it happened. And I would say that predominantly the guys who were working my neighborhoods were knocking on doors. And I said, well, so what did they say? Well, the guy just came up and he just said, hey, I'm doing curbs. And I said, how much did he charge? Well, they charged like $15, and I charged $25. That doesn't bother me. If someone wants to charge $15 because they're spray painting, I know how fast that goes, and it's crappy work. And the next year when we come back, those things are worn off and ours are still fresh. So I always overcome those with, if you want something that's just going to last this year, then a spray painted one will probably do a fairly good job. But if you want something that's going to have a longer term, higher quality, brighter result, then you need to spend a little more and get a hand-painted curb, because it's about five times as much paint goes down as the spray paint. People, if they're in higher quality neighborhoods, they're like, what's the difference? And we get a free pizza? Yeah, just go ahead and do it. I don't think I ran into people who were saying, well, $15 seems like a lot better deal. I don't think that was even an issue.
What have you found the best times to go knocking on doors?
Between 5 and 8. If you go a little earlier, they're not home yet. And if you go later, you start to get to where kids are going to bed and you're kind of interrupting stuff.
When you're walking to the door, what do you have in your hands when you're knocking on doors?
Well, when I go to the door, there's two things I have. I have my clipboard, which has the sign-up sheet on it. And I have, it's probably about 14 inches wide by 6 inches piece of Coroplast, which is a plastic, like cardboard, but it's plastic. And we painted the curb on it so that we can show an actual example to the homeowner. So we take that up to the door with us. And we're walking up to the door. We'll knock on the door. Then we'll step back a step or two so that we're actually either down a step or far enough away that when they open the door, we're not crowding them. If there's a dark porch, we step back into the light. And then we don't look them in the eye until we're finished. We basically try to keep our visual on the sign so that they're focusing on the sign also. And when they're finished, my son reaches out, thanks them, shakes their hand, and we walk away.
So the whole pitch, you're not making eye contact when they open that door and they're looking at you. You're looking at the sign and you just roll into the pitch?
What happens is they open the door. We tell them that we have a curb painting service and we're going to be installing painted curbs over the next couple of days. And then he pulls out the sign and then he starts pointing out the features of the sign. We do this Hunter Forest green background, and then after that's dried, he might look up at that point, and then he'll go down to it and he'll point out the numbers, and then he hands it over to them and he says, if you feel the numbers, feel that roughness, those are embedded crystals that are in the paint that make it very bright at night, just like an airport runway. And then he goes into the pre-sale. If you pay in advance, we give you a free pizza certificate because we appreciate collecting in advance so that we don't have to come back to get the money.
Do you wait for them to ask how much?
No. We explain how much it's going to be. The cost is only $25 and includes the free pizza certificate when this work is done. And we're going to be installing it this week. Can we put your curb in for you? Can we put you down? And then we stop and we wait until they say yes or no.
If they say no, you're done.
Yeah. My son isn't comfortable. I have no problem maybe pressing a little more, but I really feel like I want them to not feel like they were assaulted. So if they say, I'm not interested, we say, well, thank you very much and have a great evening, and we leave.
Do you ever prejudge a house? Will you knock on a door that has one of the old spray-painted ones that kind of still looks pretty good, or if the home has the address number on a mailbox, or if they have it plaqued on the fascia of their home where they have their address displayed, will you still try and sell that one?
I will try to sell any home that doesn't have a decently painted one already. If it's semi-decent, we have many times gone up to those homes and they said, yeah, can you redo it? Ours is looking pretty bad. And they're harder to do because you got to chip away at the underpaint so that ours will adhere properly. So I don't really like to do the refreshers, but I'd rather get that business and then try and keep them in the future for when we do curbs again. And I give them contact information so they can get back in touch with us and a website. So hopefully they are reaching out to us if they do need it done again. Those other guys, they don't have any way to contact them. If they're there, they're there. They're flying by.
You're listening to an interview on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. So if there's one already painted, let's say it's a spray-painted one, you can't just slap your cement paint over that one to cover it?
We won't, no, because we guarantee that they're going to be really satisfied. One thing I've noticed is when we try to paint over those and we didn't chip away and clean them up real well with a brush, and wire brush is what we scrub them up with, if we didn't do a good job of that, then the underlying would chip off and ours would come with it, and ours would look kind of not so great a year or two later. So I prefer, and my wife's pretty particular about it, that we do a really good job of just breaking up any loose stuff and scrubbing it really good before we put down our paint.
So wire brush, a good wire brush will do the job?
Very strong, bristled wire brush. Because you want to really get that curb free of all debris, and then you want to brush it all off, dust it off so there's no dust there, because that can also interfere. And the surface has got to be dry. You want your temperature to be 65 degrees or higher, and you want the ground to be dry. You don't want to put it on a wet concrete, and you don't want to do it when it's cold because it takes longer for the background to dry. People can do it with the spray paint, get it done faster and move quicker and still make good money doing this. We just are real particular the way we did it, and it worked for us to do it that way. So there are others who can take all these ideas and throw out the idea of hand painting them and do them with spray paint and get it done. But it won't have the best and brightest, highest quality, guaranteed work and everything that we try to do to make ours different than what those other guys are purveying out there with spray paint and doing it fast.
So what neighborhoods are you going to stay far away from?
If I go in a neighborhood to fly it and I see that someone in the last week or two has painted the curbs, I don't fly that neighborhood. But there are so many, Michael, out there that it really doesn't matter. I mean, just in the neighborhood I live in right here, there's 800 homes. I work with a real estate company also, and I did a mapping of the farms in this area. Within a quarter mile, I think, of this home that I'm at, there are approximately 2,800 houses throughout the area that are really good potential because I'm in a nice neighborhood to have this done. So I could work the entire summer without going more than a mile from my house and be busy.
Have you looked for additional ways to fly a neighborhood that's more effective rather than physically doing it? Like a fire distribution service or piggybacking off the guys who are hanging pizza coupons and stucco stuff where you could get your message?
Yes. I checked into having like a door hanging company do it, and I think they were 20 cents per delivered door hanger, which means to say put out 100 would be 20 bucks.
That's pretty high.
Yeah, I didn't feel like that was very productive. Another thing I thought about was going to the HOAs directly, like the HOA companies that manage HOA services, and go to them and say, we would like to paint the entire HOA for one flat fee and then work out a fee and have all the homes done in the same places throughout the entire homeowner association, and then they'd all get a discount and we'd do it just one after the other because it'd be cheaper than having to do one here and then 15 houses later do another one kind of thing.
Tell me about your kids. Did they use this to go out on their own without you to go make extra cash?
Have they gone out without me? No. They like going with Dad. But my 18-year-old, he went out with me, and we went two different sides of the street and worked together. And he picked up, I don't know, like six in 2 hours. And I picked up, I think, six also. So we got 12 in a couple of hours. And I gave them all to him to paint. So he realized, you know, this is a great way to get extra money. But then he got a job working for one of the colleges doing their technical stuff. He's a computer science major. So he ended up doing that. But, I mean, what a great gift to give to your kid is a way to go out and make money themselves without having to go work at McDonald's or something and pretty much own your time.
What percentage would you say you get paid in cash compared to checks?
I'd say at the door it's about half. I haven't introduced this yet, but if someone says, well, I don't have any cash on me or a check, I would introduce the idea, well, that's not a problem. We can just do it on a Visa MasterCard. And then what I would do is pull into my pocket and grab the square and start fumbling with it on my phone to indicate to them I am getting ready to take your payment. Mm-hmm. And I'll know if I see them all of a sudden reach in their pocket that they're going for it. And if I finally get it in and I'm, you know, taking my time to do it and they don't respond, I know they're not going to buy. That's fine.
Sure. Now, explain what Square is for a listener who doesn't know what that is.
Square is a program that if you have an Android, I think you can do it with Apple also. Basically, it's a little white card reader that they mail to you. It's free. And they give you merchant services that you can use, and it costs you 2.75%. And there's no monthly fees or anything. So you could just figure into your cost that it's going to be 2.75%. So on 20 bucks, what's that? It's like 60 cents or something. So it's 25 bucks, like maybe 60, 70 cents. So you figure it's going to cost you 60 to 70 cents for someone who's going to need a credit card, but I only bring it out if they don't have cash or check.
So it allows you to take credit card, and yep. With smartphones today, if you have a PayPal account, they can pay by PayPal as well. So getting a payment, if they have the money, is not going to be a problem.
Right. The only thing with PayPal is I haven't really thought about how to get a payment.
PayPal has one of those things just like Square that goes on.
Oh, they do? Okay. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Right.
Or they could just say, hold on, to go onto their computer. You just give them your email address and they can PayPal you. You can have a PayPal app on your phone and you know the money's sent to you.
Perfect. Yeah, I didn't know about that. So that's a great idea. But it's something I would say you don't offer unless you're running into hesitancy on their part on the other two, which is cash or check. Because you don't want to have to give up 60, 70 cents to make it convenient for them if it's not even important.
So let me ask you, you're out there knocking on doors. You're not going to get everyone to say yes, and there's definitely a potential for upsells. And maybe you haven't done this or you have. What else can you sell while you're at the door? You saw my stuff on the door viewers. Is that something one could go out there and sell at the same time in the event they don't want a curb painted?
If someone is competent at drilling holes and putting in the door viewer, they could. I was scared to death to do it because I know on these doors, they're upwards of $500-$600 to as much as several $1,000s for a door. And I just would be so nervous that I would do something that would damage the door. So I didn't even try that one. But someone who's good at that, you know, who's very competent with tools and stuff, which I am not, would probably be a great upsell. The other things that I see as an upsell is the beacon.
What's the beacon, first of all?
It's a switch, just like a light switch that you get at Home Depot, except this light switch, when you take the current external light switch inside your house for turning on the outside lights, you pull that box off and put this one in. So it's the lever, the switch, the plate, and the mechanism that turns off and on the lights, the connecting wire that goes in it. So you pull the plate off of your current one and pull out the current box that turns on your light, and you replace it with this other one. So it's really simple for someone to do. That unit costs about $5, but you can easily sell it. And you sell it as a package. You say, well, we can do the curb, and we can create a beacon for your home that'll make you very easy to find no matter who's trying to find you, and we can do both of those for $49. Well, that'd be $25 upsell, and it costs you $5 plus a little bit of time to pull out the old and put in the new box. Or you can sell them the box for, say, $15 and make a $10 upsell profit-wise and not do anything.
You're listening to an exclusive interview found on Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. Do people understand when you explain the beacon at the door what it is? Because you don't really have a way to demo it.
On my website, I show a flashing house. So it kind of demonstrates it from the website perspective. But basically what I just tell them is when you turn on your lights currently, your lights on your garage and the light out by the walkway comes on. What this will do is it will intermittently turn those lights on and off once per second. And it's only going to do that as long as you leave it in the middle position. If you go up, it'll leave them on as a steady light like you normally would do. If you push it down, it's going to turn them off. So it allows them to basically manually turn them into a flashing beacon for the outside lights for anyone who tried to find their property.
That's a nice little product. How did you learn about that, and how responsive are people to that?
Well, usually if they're older, they're responsive because that's more important to them. I think that it's something that I would have to script myself better for the upsell, but it is something that is significant when it comes to how the police and the fire are able to find you. Because if someone broke into your home, I mean, you just build a story for it. If someone broke into your home or someone was in your home and you were unable to let anyone know, by flipping the switch, you could turn on outside lights and flash them on and off, indicating there's an emergency. If the fire or the police tries to find your home, they're going to find it 2-3 blocks ahead of trying to come down the street searching, and if your car's parked in front of your address, you're not going to be able to find it. It's just a fantastic way to really make your home easy to find for anyone. If people, friends are coming and they don't know how to find you, you just tell them, hey, when you get within a couple blocks, you're going to know you're close because our house will be flashing for you. Then there's also the upsell cross-sell of address plaques. You can get address plaques at wholesale, and there's a $5 drop ship charge, and you can charge 20-25% upsell. There are a number of reflective addresses that work just like the curb address, but they sit on the fascia of your house, or they will go in the ground in front of your house, and those are using solar, or they're just using reflection from light. And those could be as little as $15-$20, and you can charge $30-$40 for those. And when they buy them, it's drop shipped right to their home. You don't even have to do anything. It just comes in the mail to them. So that could be a cross-sell or upsell. And then there are other safety type things. It's basically a light that goes in a drawer that if you need emergency attention, it just suctions to your glass on the front window of your house to your door, and you turn it on and it sends out a bright beacon flash about, I think it's like once a second or something, that can be seen from, I think it's from 1,500 feet away.
Wow.
And so it's just a very bright poof, poof, And so when someone is trying to find you, it's like a flash on a camera almost, okay? So it just does this bright LED flash. And that unit costs about, I think when you're buying in bulk, it's like maybe 10 bucks, and you can sell those for $25. So there's different things. There's different ideas, and I kind of gathered up a bunch of these ideas and saved them in a folder on my hard drive. So I've got lots of ideas for cross-selling and upselling, depending on a person's comfort level for doing that. But there's a lot of ways to make more than just the curb painting.
So what would you say, someone who wants to get into this, what kind of money is he going to need to get started? And if he goes out and works 3 hours an evening following your instructions, following your pitch, using the demo of the plaque, integrating some of these upsells, what kind of money can the guy be making per hour once he gets a little bit proficient?
He could be making $50 to $75 an hour. He could get started for free because he could go out on his first night, pre-sell it, tell them that he's collecting funds in advance of getting them installed, collect all the money, go buy his paintbrushes, you know, wire brush and everything, and then with the money he got from the pre-sale and go out and then install it. He's already made money before he even started.
Does he need a license? Are the cops going to bother him? How do you deal with any of those fears?
I go to the city and I get a peddler's license. In the city that I did it in, the peddler's license for incorporated cities, for me it was, I think, $15 or $20 for the year. So then if they say, hey, you're not supposed to be door knocking, it's like, no, I have a peddler's license, and you can show them the license. So they can't stop you if you've done the proper channels. You just make sure you're doing due diligence to make sure that you're following the local rules on it. I would even put a photo of myself with my name, go to Staples and have a picture and your name and the name of your company, just like a driver's license, and make a big plasticized one and hang it over your neck with one of those fabric things. And then it even looks even more official. So you're walking up, they see your picture, they see the name of your company, they see your peddler number. It's pretty official looking. So the process that happens is we go out and we check out a neighborhood, decide based on the criteria I gave you that this is a neighborhood we want to fly. Then we either fly the neighborhood and hope that we get sales from people putting it on their door. That's one way. Or we fly it and come back a few hours later and knock on doors as a backup. And then it kind of loosens the ground, so when you come to the door, it's really a little easier to get the door knocking done. Or you come in cold and you door knock that neighborhood. Typically, my penetration on a neighborhood is 15 to 20%. So if there are 100 homes in that neighborhood, I should get somewhere between 15 and 20 homes to want to have the installation done. And you can typically go to about maybe 75 to 100 homes in an evening. So you could get as many as 15 to 20, but typically what will happen is you'll get a number of them, and then we put up a sign, like a A-frame, that has the name of our company and the phone number and says curb painting. If people are coming home and they see you out there painting, they can call that number and say, hey, we saw you guys are painting, we want to get ours done. So you're kind of like selling while you're working.
Do you usually get calls from that?
Oh, yeah. You get calls where people just walk up to you and say, hey, could you do ours? We're right across the street. And that happens a lot. So you're always going to pick up extras as you're out there painting. So you want to look nice when you're painting. You don't want to look grungy. You want to look very approachable, clean, do a nice clean job finishing up and leaving everything nice and tidy when you leave. And then you go out and sell them, which in an evening you should get anywhere from 6 to 10 on average. If you're doing 3 hours, you'll easily get 6 to 10. You could get as much as 15 to 20 in an evening, but I wouldn't count on 15 to 20, but you will easily get 2 to 3 per hour. So that means you're going to get at least 6, if not 6 to 10 in an evening of knocking. Then the next day you map it out. We have a map that we make of the neighborhood that's a plat map. And the plat map shows each house that's in that neighborhood with property lines on it, and you get it right from the county. So you just go to the county and download plat maps for the area that you're going to work. And then I blow up the plat map for the neighborhood that I worked. And as I go through each one, I have a symbol I put for each house that tells me what happened. So if it's a house that already has a curb painted, I have a solid line. If it's a house that takes the service, I put a square around the property line and color it yellow. If they're not home, I leave it blank. If they're not interested, I put an X through it. So I have this kind of system. So then I look at a neighborhood, I can see when I review that plat map, I can see whether I want to go and re-knock if a lot of people weren't home and we picked up a good percentage of that neighborhood and a lot of people weren't home. I'll re-knock that neighborhood because I'll know by looking at my map that it indicates this is a good neighborhood.
So is that plat map printed out on 8.5 by 11 or larger and you just fold it up?
So it's printed out on 8.5 by 11. So what I do is when I'm prepping for the evening, I go to my plat map, and the plat map that I pulled down from the county, you couldn't normally print it because it's so gargantuan. So I zoom in on the area I'm going to do, and then I do a screenshot of that area, and then I crop it, and that gives you my map for the area I'm going to work. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. You can use Snagit, some software to just snag it.
And I snag it, and then I take that image, and I put it on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper, and I expand to fit the paper, and I write on the top of the page what neighborhood it is so that it's easy for me to keep like a book of each of the neighborhoods. And I could go back and see where we've been, what we've done, and, you know, it's good for the next year when you look at the neighborhoods you're going to hit. And then when I go and door knock, I use the symbols to help me understand what happened within that neighborhood. And then I give that sheet with the sign-up sheet that shows who signed up to my wife, who then takes the sheet, looks at the map, because it'll have the yellow spots. She knows are the ones that are going to be painted. And she goes in and she looks at each one that's got a name and address of the person. And then she paints them and collects the money if we didn't already, or leaves an envelope. And then she makes marks on whether the background's done, whether the numbers have been put down, and whether the money's been collected.
So tell me how you coordinate it. If you and your wife are going to go out and work a neighborhood, tell me about where you park, how y'all orchestrate it. What is her job? What is your job? Where's the car during all of this?
I let her stay home when I'm doing the door knocking, and she does it during the day. So I'll go out and I'll park at the very entrance somewhere that it looks okay to park. I'll park there, usually in front of maybe the first, second, or third house that I'm going to start with. Then I follow the outside line of that neighborhood on one side until I come back to my car. And then I turn around and I go on the inside of that same neighborhood until I come back to my car. And that'll take me into cul-de-sacs, and it pretty much will cover every square inch of that neighborhood. Then that information and the name of the neighborhood is then given to my wife that evening with the names of everyone who signed up and the yellow spots of where their properties are so that she can drive into the neighborhood and easily find which neighbor purchased it. And it's usually in order. So, I mean, the yellow one here is the first one, and the next yellow one is going to be the second one on the list because that's how I signed them up. Then she'll go and start on her first painting. So she'll set up her materials, get her brushes and paint and everything, supplies ready. She puts it in a tote, and she has a knee thing that she squats down on her knees when she's doing it so that it doesn't hurt her knees. She sets her tote down, first scrubs it all down, then tapes off the background, paints it, goes to the next one, does the same thing. And then when she's done, she'll come back around, maybe a couple hours later, the background's now dry. She'll put on her numbers, pick out her different stenciled numbers, put in her numbers, paint those, put the crystals on, and then go up to the door and collect the money or leave an envelope if we haven't already collected in advance.
What percentage are you collecting in advance with the pizza offer if you've got one?
Half are going to say, sure. And the other half, we give them the pizza offer anyways. We don't hold it back from anybody, but we don't tell them that. It's a wow thing. It's like, wow, we didn't do that, and they still gave us the pizza. That was really nice. It's just a good thing to do.
That's nice. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.